Hi, I'm Chris Kepler, and welcome to Does This Happen to You? I'm an actor, voice actor, audiobook narrator, and writer. I love telling and sharing stories about the strange experiences my friends and I have while doing mundane things like grocery shopping. That's why this podcast features funny stories from fantastic writers about our daily anomalies, a micro-audiobook about life and befuddlement just for you. Our story this week is from Jennifer K., who you'll find on Medium.com. And here is Dynamite and Other Funny Stories, sharing the greatest hits from my childhood. It's not Mother's Day yet, but since my family has had a little scare with my mom's health this week, it seemed like the appropriate time to share a few fun stories from my childhood in a sort of homage to my mom. She'll be turning 80 in a few days, and she's stayed sharp as a tack even through a battle with a very aggressive cancer. Following are some delightful tales that will have you laughing right along with us. Dynamite. We were all born in Philadelphia, so when we moved to California in the early 1970s, there was nothing we kids wanted more than to go to every amusement park in Southern California. Disneyland, Knott's Berry Farm, SeaWorld, Magic Mountain. All these parks were within a few hours' drive of our house, and we wanted to go to all of them, but most especially Disneyland. Usually, when my parents decided to let us go, we were allowed to bring friends, or we went with another family. These were the days when the parks weren't so crowded, and it would have been unthinkable to stand in line for a ride for more than half an hour. However, kids being kids, and with so much to see and do, the adrenaline coursed through our veins as we jostled and ran to our favorite rides and shops, and it was easy for us to get separated from the larger group. Any kid who has experienced the fear of turning around and not seeing your family when you're in a crowded place will know the importance of paying attention to your surroundings. And stranger danger was real back then. In fact, a girlfriend and I were nearly abducted on our way to school when I was in first grade, so we understood we weren't supposed to go off on our own, but it happens sometimes in spite of our best efforts. So my mother decided we needed a code word. The premise was simple. If one of us couldn't find the rest of the group, or if the parents noticed one head was missing from the count, we'd shout the code word, and that was sort of the ollie ollie oxen free signal to return to home base. You simply followed the call until you were reunited with the group. Only our code word was dynamite. Dear listener, imagine, if you will, a group of adults and children walking around at Disneyland and shouting the word dynamite at full voice. How we didn't get thrown out of every amusement park, shopping mall, and grocery store in town, I will never understand, because we used our code word a lot. Of course, these were the days before 9/11 and before mass shootings became a quarterly event, so it was perhaps less fear-inducing than it would be now. Nonetheless, my brilliant mom came up with the code word, and we've never let her live it down. The artificial cat. I've always loved animals. As a kid, I begged my mom for pets constantly. She'd had a horrible experience with distemper in a dog she had before I was born, and it frightened her enough that she was worried about getting another dog. Nonetheless, I was about 10 when she finally broke down and got our poodle. We had goldfish and birds, and though I begged for a hamster, that request was turned down as too messy. The pet I really wanted was a cat. I'm not a cat person or dog person. I am a fur person. I love anything furry. And before we got our dog, which helped to calm down my desire for furry snuggles, I desperately wanted a cat. The only problem was that everyone in the family was allergic to cats, except my dad, who hated them. So getting a cat was totally out of the question, but it didn't stop me from wanting one. I guess I had hounded my mother enough on the matter, and she finally got fed up and decided to get me a cat. So off we went to the fabric store. There, we picked out a pattern for a sew-it-yourself cat. It was a tabby cat, and the image of the front and back of the cat was printed directly onto the muslin. You simply cut the fabric along the lines, sewed it together with the two printed sides facing each other, then turned it inside out, stuffed it with batting, and sewed up the last inch or two by hand. Voila! Artificial cat. To say that I was disappointed with my stuffed cat would be an understatement. The way it was sewn meant that the pillow, because that's really what it was, couldn't even stand up on its own. I guess sewing it myself was meant to teach me yet another skill, and no, I do not own a sewing machine now. But my artificial pillow cat did not satisfy my longing for a warm, furry animal to cuddle. It didn't meow or purr. There wasn't even any fur on it. Nonetheless, so hungry was I for fur snuggles that the artificial cat slept in bed with me. I fed it every day and kept it for years, even after we got the dog. I don't remember the day when I finally threw the artificial cat away, but I'm sure I had a momentary pang of regret when that day came. Hopefully, the kitty pillow didn't just end up moldering away in a landfill somewhere. That would have been a sad end for my first cat. I've had 4 cats since then, all of the real variety, and I can say I'll probably have at least 1 cat for the rest of my life. The non-pillow variety may eat more and require more cleanup than the artificial cat did, and I did have to overcome my allergies to dander, but the relationship I have with my cat companions is worth it all. Not that I'm bitching. I know my mom had the best of intentions when she made me sew a pillow and call it a cat. As a parent, she did her best to satisfy the desires of her kid while also not causing all kinds of problems in the household. But a pillow is not a cat, and to this day, I don't know why we didn't just go to a store and buy a stuffed animal in the shape of a cat. That probably would have had a better result. I guess sometimes parents just don't think things through. Dogs and chickens. So as I mentioned, we had a poodle when I was a kid. Not one of those great big standard poodles, but a tiny little teacup poodle named Butterscotch. She probably weighed less than 10 pounds, a white fluffy dog with a little stripe of butterscotch coloring running down her back, hence the name. She was my best pal growing up, but she was my mom's dog. We all adored her. My grandparents had moved from the East Coast in the early 1980s to be closer to us, and my grandfather regularly came over to help ferry us kids to our after-school activities. We always enjoyed spending time with him, even though he wasn't a terribly demonstrative man. He was very much a creature of habit, so much that we went to dinner at Norm's restaurant with him every Monday for several years. They had this fried chicken dinner, you see. You got soup or salad, something I for years heard as super salad, and that is the only type of salad I make at home now. 3 pieces of chicken, a drink, and dessert, which was usually a scoop of vanilla ice cream with hot fudge, caramel, or pineapple topping on it. And to this day, I still enjoy vanilla ice cream with pineapple topping. We ate this every Monday for years. One day, my mom decided it was time I learned some kitchen skills. She and I went into the kitchen, and she taught me how to bake a chicken, a skill I will probably never use again since I don't eat birds anymore. That night, she and my father went out for dinner, and my grandfather came over to eat with us instead of our usual Norm's night. I was very proud of my chicken. I worked hard at seasoning it, basting it, and baking it, and it came out of the oven perfectly browned. I knew it needed to rest a little before we carved it up, so I set it on a trivet on the dining room table, which I had beautifully made up with a tablecloth, real napkins, and our good plates. I was so excited for everyone to taste and ultimately compliment my cooking. But pride goeth before a fall, they say. My grandfather arrived as I was putting the finishing touches on my salad in the kitchen. A swinging wooden door separated the kitchen from the dining room, and when I heard the doorbell ring and headed out to let him in, I passed through the swinging door and into the dining room. There, on top of my prized chicken dinner, sat the dog. She was straddling the bird, wolfing it down in giant bites, not with a breath in between them. I have never seen any animal devour its food as quickly, not even in the zoo. It was as if she knew she was doing something bad, and she was going to get in every bite before I ripped her off that chicken. Now, chicken bones can be deadly for pets if ingested, and we got lucky that she had only helped herself to the breast meat, so she hadn't gotten far enough into that bird to cause any harm to herself. But just imagine the look on my grandfather's face as I let him in the front door, holding a dog covered in chicken juice, and the ruins of our dinner laid out on the dining room table for all to see. The pizza that night was the best I've ever had. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the story, let me know and share it with your friends. Follow me at ChrisKKArya on Twitter or Chris K. Kepler on Facebook, or check out my website, www.chriskepler.com.